What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Water to Wine. I'm Santiago, and I'm here with my friend Paul.
What's up?
We're here to talk about a recent race we both did called Ragnar. Paul, do you want to kind of explain what that was?
Yeah, so it's, again, in the name Ragnar, a race that's done, I think, nationwide, if not maybe worldwide. And it's pretty awesome. I mean, it's a relay out in the wilderness of, you know, out the outskirts of different cities, you know. So we were in Austin, but they also have it in like Atlanta, Washington, Colorado, Florida, the Northeast, California. It's like, it's pretty much everywhere. And it's an amazing experience because it's a community of runners who obviously, one, love to run, but even a lot of people that don't, probably aren't in a runner's form or shape, that still want to do something extreme, right? It's not like your typical Spartan race or like, you know, these intense runs where they have obstacles. It's just a run in nature. And overall, I think it was a pretty amazing experience. I mean, running 120 miles as a team. We were a team of eight, but there's also teams of six, teams of two. And I think it's, as an experience, it was pretty powerful. I mean, it's, yeah, as a team, we had to unite together really and say, okay, you know, what's our motivation? You know, how are we going to do this? You know, who's going to be running what laps and who's going to start when? And
especially because none of us trained that hard.
I mean, the idea was to train, right?
Right.
I think a month or 2 months before we started, the idea was to kind of start running. I remember we started running together with Matt and Lily in White Rock that one time. And I mean, it was fun.
Right.
We did well. And then after that, I think we ran again with Matt, Lily, and someone else.
Pepe.
And Pepe, yeah, at White Rock. Like, and that was, I mean, it was a good experience to kind of just see how a 9 mile run would be like and to see how fast we can go. Mm. But I think this race really challenged us because it was all hills and, you know, rocks and a lot.
It was very
more terrain.
Tough.
Yeah, it was all terrain that we couldn't, you know, get used to or that we weren't used to training on. But yeah, overall, it was pretty fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. No, it was definitely an awesome time. And like Paul said, it's kind of a relay. And so you run about every 5 to 6 hours, depending on how long it takes your whole team to cycle through.
Yeah.
So I think each of us ran one time in the afternoon on Friday. And then middle of the night, Saturday.
Yeah.
Depending on your order, of course. And then late afternoon, Saturday. So it was about 24 hours of running. And it was super, super fun. A lot, really intense. Certainly, there were some really hard courses. For me, the Yellow course, which is a 5 mile super hilly course,
yeah,
was very tough. That's the one I started with, actually. And just, I went out super hard, expecting to basically hold on to what I used to be able to do.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
unfortunately, the lack of training kicked in very quickly. And that's kind of when I realized that I have to run for something bigger than me, because if I just ran for me, I was going to walk a lot more than I did.
Yeah.
And I say a lot more because I definitely walked a little bit.
Yeah.
And,
so did I.
Yeah, it's, and even when I started walking, I knew that if I would start, it was going to be a lot harder to stop.
Yeah.
So kind of using the momentum in my favor, just trying to hold off on walking as long as possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, try to keep a selfless motivation and think about the team. So that's kind of what got me through, man. I don't know, what kind of helped you get through those hills?
The team as well. I mean, knowing that I had to run not for me but for someone else, because yeah, they wanted to run fast or they wanted to get going as soon as possible. And if I took that time, if I, you know, started walking, which I will admit I also did a few times, maybe once or twice, I think, for sure, then I would have almost let them down, right? I mean, if they wanted to win or, you know, try their best, and then here I am not trying my best,
right?
I felt kind of bad. But even like during the run, I remember the second run, which was a 7 mile run. I ran it like at 2 a.m. and it was fun. It was nice, but it was hard because it was just, one, it was long. Two, like you, I started pretty strong. I wanted to go fast, keep a good pace. But then that's when I said, okay, well, I can't do this. You know, my legs are giving out. I'm tired. Right. I'm exhausted. I'm hungry.
Talk about a little bit about the eating between each run.
Yeah.
Like, were you able to eat a lot or sleep a lot?
My first run was at 7 p.m. and I had dinner like around 5, which I shouldn't have done. I should have had maybe a smaller dinner, but a little earlier. And I remember, what do we have? We had
Subway.
Subway, that's right.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was good. I mean, it was light, but I think I was still digesting that. So I felt it a little bit during that run.
Yeah.
Then, before my next, well, and after that run, the first run, I ate a banana and a granola bar just to kind of get some energy. Then I ran again at 2 a.m. I didn't have any water or food before then. But I think that's kind of got me tired because I hadn't eaten anything for like 6 hours. But then my last run in the morning, I woke up like at 6 or 7 in the morning, and then had a banana granola bar, and then ran at around 9. But I mean, it was fine. I mean, it helped a little bit, but I think because it was so separate, I guess because they were separate, and it was a lot harder to kind of gauge and say, okay, well, let me eat now, have, you know, a day to rest, and eat again, and then a day to rest. No, this is like, you know, every 4 to 5 hours. Yeah, yeah, so it was a lot harder to do that. But even just like, you know, the running, what motivated me was, you know, just keep the next foot moving. Just, right, you know, one step more, get to that rock, get to that tree, and kind of push myself a little bit.
I think that's huge, man. I think for me, I totally agree. You know, whenever I would think about, when I went into my 7 mile race, I kind of broke it down. I broke it down into a 5 mile and then a 2 mile.
Yeah.
Because I broke it down that way because I knew I had already done the 5 miles, so I knew I was capable. And I knew that with 2 miles, you know, I that's definitely doable at any point.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's the way I had to break it down. And in a way, it kind of relates a little bit to my spiritual life as well. Because, you know, it's kind of a methodology of thinking where we take one step at a time, and whatever it is you want to grow in your spiritual life, whether it's leaving sin or growing in virtue, it takes one step at a time.
Right.
And it takes breaking down that huge race or that huge course into biteable segments.
Yeah.
You know?
And I was also even thinking, you know, all three races that I did were all three legs. Right away, I started running really fast.
Yeah.
And I didn't gauge myself or time myself well and start, you know, slow and then pick up the pace. And I was just thinking afterwards, you know, sometimes in life we can say, you know, I'm going to start this out strong and maybe I don't know it too well and kind of can crash and burn. And, you know, you don't give yourself enough time to prepare well or to, you know, rest well or, you know, to have balance. I mean, I think if I would have started training 2 months in advance, you know, had a balanced diet, you know, enough sleep, trained enough to say, okay, this is my plan of action before starting this, then I think I would have done much better than I did that time. And I think in life it's the same thing. You know, you have a plan, you know, what's my goal? If it's going to be this, then I have to plan and prepare for that. I can't just say that's my goal and I'm going to do it the day it's due.
Like, exactly. No, I mean,
like,
it never works.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, even in classes, you know, for exams, I would cram the day before my test and, you know, sure, I would do well, but, you know, I probably could have done much better if I studied, you know, that week before or that month before that big exam.
Right. And it's always during the race or during the moment where you kind of get that feeling of regret.
Right.
And you realize, dang, I should have put in the time,
yeah,
put in the effort and the training. And even with our faiths, you know, like we're all called to a certain vocation, and the framework or the foundation of that vocation starts right now.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we say, oh, we're going to change once we you know, once we grow older, once we hit a certain point in our life.
Right.
And the reality is that it's going to be that much harder, just like it was in that race. You know, I was, oh, like, yeah, okay, once I get to the race, I'm gonna count my adrenaline to kick in.
Yeah.
And that was good for maybe the first mile.
Yeah.
And after that, I was pretty dead. Yeah. It was pretty hard to keep going, but I just gotta kind of had to put one step in front of the other. Paul, another thing that was kind of cool to me was the whole fellowship or camaraderie of it.
Yeah.
We drove down in 2 cars, like 4 or 5 people in each car, and so we were very close knit group. And I think that's huge in spiritual life too, you know, having a support group, just to kind of walk through life and tackle any of the hardships. It's very hard to slow down when you know your teammates are also gonna be doing the same exact race, the same exact course.
Yeah.
And if they're not giving up, it's hard for you to justify you giving up. I don't, yeah, know what you think about that. That's kind of the way it hit me.
Oh, no, I totally agree. Because, I mean, even before we got down to the race, you know, like a month before, we would go running. And it was fun, mm-hmm, to have that motivation to say, hey, you know, I'm running now and I'm trying to beat this person right next to me while we're training. Or, right, you know, try to, as hard as I can. It really helps to motivate you to say, okay, don't give up, right? And during the race, once we got there, then the exact same thing, right? And, you know, we're there with, you know, the team of 8 of us, and to know that we were running one after the other, it was good to say, hey, don't give up, because, you know, I need to run for this person and, right, you know, do my very, very best.
I absolutely totally agree, man. You know, in terms of discipline, you know, you're kind of touching on this in terms of, you know, how we were training as a group before, and how you almost, because of our lack of training as much as we probably should have, I felt a little bit enslaved by the heat or by my exhaustion or at the mercy of the hills.
Yeah.
You know, I almost felt like I was begging that some sort of godly adrenaline was going to rush through me, and I was going to be able to get through my, I think I did a 3 mile loop at 3 a.m. and, and then a 7 mile loop at like 6 a.m. So I was just kind of hoping that something was going to push forward and just get me through these miles instead of relying on my discipline of training. And I think that kind of relates a little bit to freedom, right? Because I did kind of feel enslaved by the heat and by my endurance. Whereas if I would have trained, I would have felt more more in control.
Yeah, you would have been, you know, well trained and rested, and you would have had so much strength to do it well.
Right, and you take the race and the course by the horns instead of kind of hoping that it doesn't give you one more hill, because you know that if it did, that would finish you off.
Right, exactly. Which is the same for like the spiritual life, praying, and you know, being well trained and you know well read, or you know, praying well, and having these resources at your hands to help you grow in your spiritual life, right? But being constant, you know, doing it daily or doing it once a month or once a week to kind of be in tune.
Absolutely. Yeah, and because you never know. Fortunately, with Ragnar, we knew the date and we knew the time, but in real life, we never know when we're going to kind of hit the hill or hit a huge, a tough moment. And so having that consistency and that discipline beforehand is huge.
Right. I mean, many times it's so easy to say, you know, you hit a wall and say, okay, Lord, you know, I need your help now.
Right.
But yet we forget to say, Lord, I need your help every day, even though it's going well.
Exactly.
Because we need his help no matter what. And when those walls hit or those challenges come, say, hey, at least I have the faith and the strength to say that I know God is here by my side, or, you know, I know he's here present in my life to give me that strength. And I think that that's important to have.
Yeah, totally agree, man. And then one thing that I was also kind of thinking of is the whole, you kind of touched on this earlier, but the whole rest in between each loop. So just to kind of give you a little debrief on that, we were barely able to sleep because we had like 6 hours between each of our race. It takes about an hour to cool down because you were so energized and pumped up during your race. So it takes about an hour to cool down. And then about an hour before, you're also really anxious because you know your time is coming up and you're kind of aware and making sure that you're ready to go. So you really only have 4 hours.
If any.
Yeah. At that point, you're hanging out with your friends, or you're joking around. It's kind of tough to get some sleep and get some rest and get good nutrition, right?
Yeah.
That kind of reminded me a little bit of confession, just how confession is kind of that boost that we can have between each of the tough moments to kind of get us completely ready for the next challenge.
Yeah.
And something that we weren't really able to have during Ragnar.
Yeah.
And so it really affected me. I think you were mentioning how it affected you as well, not being able to eat and sleep as much as you wanted to.
Yeah. It was hard.
Yeah, definitely pretty hard. So yeah, we just kind of challenge you guys all to, if you ever have a Ragnar race in town, definitely go and tackle it and get a group of guys or friends, whoever, to go do it with you. And like me and Paul were mentioning, just keeping that discipline in your life, keeping that balance, that focus, and that motivation to do things, not just for yourself, but for people outside your circle. And it just kind of keeps you driving.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, definitely, if you have a race nearby, definitely do it, because it's an awesome experience to really just get close as friends, run, go out in nature, kind of experience the, you know, the beauty of God's creation. And definitely, you know, use that as an analogy for your own life, you know, trying to prepare well, pray well, be disciplined in, you know, your commitments as a Catholic, as a Christian, or, you know, as a good person in life, because it will help you in the end, right? Being constant to say, yes, this is my commitment, I'm going to do it no matter what. And if, you know, if I can't do it this day, then at least, you know, say, hey, I need help by a friend, or, you know, or even God himself, right? So definitely, by all means, I say, challenge yourself, do it, don't give up. You know, if you need help, we'll be here to train you guys as best as we can, or join your team. I mean, I would love to join your team to run a Ragnar again, and we'll see you again next time.
Sounds good. See you guys. Thanks for listening.